Okay, well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Astronomical Society of Kansas City's general meeting. This is seeming to be working out okay. Now, my camera is down there, but I have to look up there and read, but I'm with you, okay? Tonight, our guest speaker is a longtime friend of mine named Michael Bakich. Michael and I met a long time ago when he was here in Kansas City, and he was the director of the planetarium at the Kansas City Museum, the one up on Gladstone Boulevard. And it was a planetarium built in the conservatory of that estate. And he designed the new planetarium that's down at, Union Station. But more about Michael. I looked him up on the internet today just to see if they knew who he was. And sure enough, just a plethora of information. And I'm sorry, Michael, but I'm gonna talk about some of this. He got his start in third grade when someone gave him a set of flashcards with the constellations on them. And then go forward in 1975, he got a degree in astronomy from Ohio State University. In 77, he got his master's degree on planetarium education at Michigan State, only one of six of those degrees ever to be issued. And then in 2003, he went to work for Astronomy Magazine and was pretty much the senior editor as long as I can remember. And he hasn't actually left there, but he's kind of stepped back a little bit. He's now a contributing editor at Astronomy Magazine. And I'm sure he's working just as hard as he ever did. Michael also is quite a prolific writer. He's written, seven books. And they started with those Cambridge guides. And he had wrote one, A Cambridge Guide to the Constellations, a planetary handbook, and an encyclopedia of amateur astronomy. And then he wrote 1001 Celestial Objects to See Before You Die. That sounds like a good one. And then he wrote as part of Patrick Moore's Practical Astronomy series, in 2015, in conjunction with a friend of ours, Mike Reynolds, who passed away this last fall, Exploring the Universe, a Laboratory Guide for Astronomy. And then his last book is just coming out. It is called Your Guide to the 2017. That was last book he wrote before is for the 17 eclipse. And we all were up in St. Joe and got to see parts of that. And let's see, now the new one coming out is the Atlas of Solar Eclipses for the next 25 years going forward. And I'm sure that Michael and I are going to be at a few of those because we've been all over the world together. He and his wife and me and my grandson were in Siberia in 2008, I think. Anyway, and quite a few others, Tahiti, Australia. We've seen a few. So this should be quite interesting if any of you are interested in traveling in one of these eclipses going forward. So from Tucson, Arizona, I give you Michael Bakich. It's your turn, Michael.
Okay, let's see here. Start my video. There it is. Okay, well, gee, thanks, Jackie. Another 5 minutes and the talk could have been all about me. Okay, let me share my screen here.
That's funny.
And let's see, share. Okay. Earlier Jackie asked me what I was working on today. And I think I'll show you. For the last couple weeks, I've been working on a new moon globe for Astronomy Magazine and for our online store, myscienceshop.com. And I got the base maps from the USGS, and they were labeled somewhat, but I have made some changes. And here's one of the hemispheres that I've been working on. Everything in red that you see is either an addition or deletion by me. I'm not quite done with this one yet, but it's been quite a challenge. It's taken me several weeks to get to this point, and soon, hopefully, we'll be done. Okay, so let me start my talk. Slideshow from beginning. This is certainly different. I've probably done close to two dozen talks. Okay, wait a second. Oh, now I know why. I've probably done about close to two dozen talks for the ASKC through the years, but this is the first one where I can't interact with the audience. So we'll see. This is my first Zoom talk ever. The talk is about the next 25 years of total solar eclipses, and I've picked a few that I think are highlights. So the reason that I'm doing this talk is because Jackie and I were chatting on the phone. She said, how would you like to do a talk for us? And I said, well, that'd be great. She said, what do you want to talk about? I said, well, I have a book that's coming out. So let me talk about the next quarter century of eclipses. This book came about a year or so ago. Michael Zeiler, whom many of you know, he operates the website greatamericaneclipse.com, and he does the great maps of eclipses. He's just fabulous. We were chatting on the phone, and I said, so what are you working on now? He said, well, you know, I'm thinking about doing an atlas of solar eclipses. I said, oh, that'll be great. People will love that. Pause. How would you like to write the text? And I said, okay, I'll write the text. Wow, little did I know that it would take up pretty much the next year of my time. So this is the book, and this is what I based the talk on. So the book talks about 56 solar eclipses in the next 25 years. 16 of them are partial, so you can pretty much ignore those. Two of them are hybrid, otherwise known as annular total eclipses. Because Earth is round, sometimes an eclipse will start at a point on Earth near its edge, as seen from the sun-moon lineup, and it starts with an annular eclipse and then goes to total and may end there or may end again as an annular eclipse. So whether you call it annular total or hybrid eclipse, there are two of them in the next 25 years. 20 of the next 56 eclipses are annular, and then it's all about totality. 18 total solar eclipses in the next 56 years. And those are the ones to watch, of course. I will say that pretty much every graphic in this presentation is also in the book. So this is Michael's look at the next 25 years of eclipses. The partial eclipses aren't on here, but the totals are, the annulars are, and the hybrid eclipses, the annular totals. So this is what the next 25 years holds for us. Okay, it's all about totality. So the first eclipse I'm going to talk about is the annular eclipse, October 14th, 2023. The magnitude of this eclipse is 0.952. Magnitude of a solar eclipse is a relationship between the moon's diameter and the sun's diameter. So in this case, the moon will cover 95.2% of the sun's diameter. Okay, so it won't be a total eclipse. That would be 1.0 and whatever. So this one covers 95.2%. And the maximum duration of annularity, 5 minutes, 17 seconds. Of course, the reason I'm talking about this one is the path. As you can see, the path starts in the northern Pacific Ocean, but then quickly encounters the United States. So this will be kind of a warm-up eclipse. This is an annular eclipse, not a total eclipse, but certainly one to watch. We get a little closer. Another map that shows a little bit of the path through North and South America. And then closer still, and I think you can probably see my pointer. Oh, there it is on the left side. So the eclipse enters Oregon, touches California, makes a huge swath through Nevada and Utah. And then a giant slice diagonally through New Mexico and an even longer one through Texas. So lots of space. Mid-October in that part of the country, gonna have really good, really clear weather. Your question might be, okay, Michael, where are you gonna be? Well, it just so happens that my co-author of the book, Michael Zeiler, lives in Santa Fe. So we chatted about going to Albuquerque, which is pretty much on the center line, or being on his deck in his jacuzzi in Santa Fe and watching the annular eclipse from there. However, we have decided to be here at a ski resort that Michael likes. And the reason is because it will be right along the edge of the path of annularity. And we chose that because that's where you'll see an extended display of Bailey's beads, okay? This is Bailey's beads during a total solar eclipse. You can see them down here at the bottom. They don't last very long if you're on the center line of a solar eclipse, total eclipse. And that's really where you want to be. But if you're at the limit, either the northern limit or the southern limit of either a total or an annular eclipse, it almost appears like the disk of the moon rolls along the edge of the sun, and you can have up to a minute or more of Bailey's beads. Now you do need pretty good binoculars, high power binoculars, or a telescope to see them. And of course, an approved solar filter for either your binoculars or your telescope. But this is where we're gonna be, and this is why we're gonna be there. We wanna see that extended run of Bailey's beads. Now, I don't think there's anybody that I know that would sacrifice totality to see this, because, you know, if you're right on the edge, you might get maybe a second of totality, and everybody wants to be on the center line. And that's absolutely where you should be for the maximum amount of totality. But this is an annular eclipse. And if, like me, you've seen one or more annular eclipses, you might consider being at the extremes, at one of the extremes of the annular eclipse, either the northern edge, like we're going to be, or at the southern edge. Okay, the next eclipse that we'll talk about, the Great Eclipse, August 2nd, 2027. Now this, wait a minute, 2023, have I missed one? Yes, I have. It's the eclipse, April 8th, 2024, of course. That's the next great American total solar eclipse. It starts in Texas and goes all the way up through Maine. Maximum duration of totality, 4 minutes and 27 seconds. We're 3.5 years away from that eclipse. And in the next 3.5 years, you are going to hear a ton about that eclipse. You probably already know as much about it as I do. 2 years ago, I wrote a story about it for the magazine. So I decided not to spend any time, well, except the last 3 minutes, talking about the solar eclipse in 2024, because we will be inundated by information about that eclipse. Okay, so that one, 4 minutes, 27 seconds, pretty good length of totality. Wow, let me tell you something. This is the eclipse, August 2nd, 2027, that you want to start saving your money for. Its magnitude is basically 1.08. That means the moon's diameter is 8% greater than the sun's. That's getting near the edge of what can actually happen. Maximum duration of totality, 6 minutes and 23 seconds. And let me say that the maximum amount of totality occurs at a place on Earth where clouds at this time of year are a virtual impossibility. So if you want to see 6+ minutes of totality, this is the eclipse for you. Okay, so it skirts basically Northern Africa, Middle East, and if we get a little bit closer, you know, this kind of, I'm not going to be here, but if you had to be, the Straits of Gibraltar would not be a bad place to view this eclipse from, more than 4 minutes of totality in a beautiful setting. But you can be in Algeria, you can be in Tunisia, if you want, you know, Benghazi in Libya is on the center line, probably not going to be able to get there. And then we get to Egypt. This is going to be the destination of most people for this eclipse. Look at the swath that it cuts diagonally through Egypt. Now, it doesn't come near Cairo, okay? If most people will be flying into Cairo, but if you stay there, you're only going to see a 95% partial eclipse, which is not good at all. So you want to tour the archaeological sites of Cairo and then head south a couple hundred miles to the center line of totality. And it doesn't really matter in Egypt where you go. I mean, take a look at the length of that eclipse through Egypt. At no point along the center line is totality less than 6 minutes. That's incredible. This is the eclipse of our lifetime. Nobody alive now will be able to see a longer duration of totality than in 2027. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be just outside the Temple of Luxor, built nearly 6,000 years ago. This is one of the great historical sites in Egypt. And standing outside Luxor, looking essentially straight up, the sun will be, 7 degrees from the overhead point, and seeing an eclipse 6 minutes and 23 seconds long is just going to be unbelievable. Now, if you want a bit more of an astronomical tie-in and you're okay sacrificing just a few seconds of totality, you can go just up the road to Dendera. In fact, the Temple of Dendera is where the great Dendera zodiac was, one of the oldest surviving astronomical tidbits of history. It's not at Dendera because a couple centuries ago, French archaeologists, let's just say the French military liberated it from Dendera, and it now resides in the Louvre Museum in Paris. So if you actually want to see the Dendera zodiac, you'll have to go to the Louvre, but the Temple of Dendera, a great astronomical site, of course. Back then, you'd say astrological site, but it was an important astronomical site for the Egyptians. So of all the eclipses, certainly of those in the next 25 years, start saving your money and meet me in Egypt, just outside of Luxor. So if we do go to this eclipse, what's the sky going to look like? Michael and I both have to give thanks to my wonderful wife, Holly, who did these diagrams for the book. And this shows the region of the region 45 degrees from the totally eclipsed sun. And we have several planets in the sky, all of which will be really easy to see. Venus at nearly magnitude -4 will be only 3 degrees from the sun. Mercury will be magnitude -1.4, and Jupiter just slightly brighter at -1.7. Now, some of the stars in this diagram are really mainly for getting your bearings. Probably won't be able to maybe pick out Procyon through binoculars, maybe Pollux, maybe Regulus because it's so close to Jupiter, but we don't go to see a total solar eclipse to look for planets or stars. We go to see the effects of and around the sun, the diamond rings, Bailey's beads, the corona. So if you want to take a few seconds to look for a star, just make it a few seconds during totality and then return to the main event. So this is what the sky is going to look like for the August 2nd, 2027 eclipse. Okay, who's next? Oh, another annular eclipse. Why did we choose this one? Well, I'll tell you why we chose this one. It's because, well, first, the magnitude, 0.92, okay? The duration of annularity at maximum, 10 minutes, 27 seconds. And you might notice that the lower the magnitude of an annular eclipse, the longer the duration of annularity. And that's because we want the smallest moon and the biggest sun for an annular eclipse, if you want maximum annularity. And it's just the reverse for a total eclipse. You want the smallest sun and the biggest moon covering it for totality. So this maximum annularity, 10 minutes and 27 seconds, just to our south in South America, mainly through Brazil. And if we take a bit of a closer look, just off this map, right over here, is going to be a popular destination, the Galapagos Islands. Some of you have been to the Galapagos to see an eclipse. This will be an annular eclipse. And from the Galapagos, from the big island there on the south end, I'm trying to remember, I'm thinking it's 7 minutes, 4 seconds of annularity. Not bad, surrounded by some of the great sites of the Galapagos. And then as the eclipse progresses, where's my pointer? There it is, progresses through South America and mainly through Brazil, just before it hits the coast is where the maximum duration of annularity, almost 10 and a half minutes, just before it hits the coast there. We're staying in 2028, July 22nd, 2028, the next total solar eclipse that I want to talk about. Its magnitude is 1.056, the maximum duration of totality, quite a worthy 5 minutes, 10 seconds. This one goes through the land down under, the great country of Australia. And for those of you that went there in 2012, wow, that's a trip I'll never forget. The people there are just so fabulous. And the sights are astounding. The food was okay, but the people were great. So this is Australia for the 2028 total solar eclipse. Getting a little bit closer, you can see that it passes through pretty much the center of the country. And if you want to fly in and just stay at a spot, right down here, just before it leaves Australia, you can be in Sydney, which is pretty much on the center line. Now, if you go to Sydney, you'll see a lot of great sights. The Sydney Opera House comes to mind. But if you go, I want to say, take a moment and go to the historic Sydney Observatory, which is still in operation, still giving programs. Well, maybe not today because of, you know, the virus, but hopefully in a year, you know, they'll be back up and running and you'll be able to visit it. And you know that they will have some spectacular programs and lots of information about the eclipse at the observatory there. So if you're going to go to Australia in 2028, then this will be a definitely don't miss sight. Okay. The sky during totality features three stars. You know, it's always going to feature Venus and Mercury. Mercury will be nice and bright, almost as bright as it can get, almost minus two, only 4 degrees away from the sun. Venus, even though it's 44 degrees away from the sun, at magnitude minus 4.4, no problem. It'll pop out 10, 15 minutes before totality, and you'll see it a long time thereafter. And Mars, at magnitude 1.5, you can search for it through binoculars, but I wouldn't spend a lot of time doing that. It won't be visible to the naked eye at that magnitude and with really nothing around to highlight it. I want to take a moment and talk about how lucky the Australians are. Take a look at this. 2023, a hybrid eclipse just clips the northwest part of the Northwest Territories. In 2028, the eclipse we're now talking about, total. 2037, total. The following year, total. And 2042, annular. Not sure how Australia is so favored, but they do seem to get a lot of eclipses down there, down under. So that's Australia. Okay, total solar eclipse, March 30th, 2033 is the next one on my list. Magnitude and the maximum duration of totality, 2 minutes, 37 seconds. And the reason that I'm highlighting this one is because it too touches the United States. This is an odd duck. It's one of those polar eclipses where the path just, you know, comes around the pole. You can see that the only part that totality touches in the United States is the northwestern part of Alaska here. Taking a closer look. Okay, land over here to the left on this slide is Russia, and this is Alaska. Totality is definitely in Alaska. Now, Alaska has four cities that have populations greater than 10,000, only four. None of them are even close to the path of totality. So you're gonna have to work to get to this one. And March 30th in northwestern Alaska, not really that weather-wise, you know, just not much to recommend it. But if you choose to go, you won't see any planets because the planets, although you can see three of them on this map, are all below the horizon. In fact, when the path of totality first touches Alaska, the sun is only 8 degrees high. And near the maximum, as it exits Alaska, it's only 11 degrees high. All of the planets are far to the west of the sun. And you know, the sun, you probably already know this, sets in the west. So we're not gonna be able to see any planets. But again, you don't go to see a total solar eclipse for the planets. You go to see what's going on with the sun. So this one will be the end of March, 2033. The next one I wanted to feature is September 2nd, 2035. This one has a magnitude of 1.03 and a totality almost 3 minutes long. Here's its path. You may think, wow, Michael, that's a lot of ocean. It is. Am I suggesting we go to China? No. I highlighted this eclipse because I'll bet not a single one of you have been to North Korea. And this is one of the few totalities that actually crosses North Korea. So who knows? By 2035, things could be a lot better and you may be able to travel to North Korea. And once you're there, who knows who you'll see? But if you do choose to go to North Korea, this is the way the sky will look during totality, with Venus, Mercury, and Saturn in the sky. Venus, certainly visible, only 7 degrees away from the sun. Mercury and Saturn, possibly naked eye, 0.2, 0.4, that far away from the sun. Certainly through binoculars. Again, don't spend a lot of time searching for those. So anyway, if you want to go to North Korea, this is the eclipse for you. Okay. 2042, April 20th, total solar eclipse. Now again, the magnitude is 1.06, the maximum duration of totality, almost 5 minutes. take a look at this path, and you might think, okay, we're going to Indonesia, or we're going to the Philippines, both great places. No, that's not what I'm suggesting. Look to the right up here at the end of the path. Let's go to the next map. You'll see that the path ends, well, quite a ways off the west coast. However, if you, I say sail, if you take a boat, just a bit over 1,200 miles to the center line from San Francisco, you'll enjoy 2 minutes, 23 seconds of totality. Now, that said, the sun will be only 3.5 degrees above the horizon, but you're on the ocean. It's a perfect horizon. So if there are no low-lying clouds, you'll have a great view of totality and really quite a different view, because most of the eclipses, the total eclipses that I've been to, the sun has been quite high in the sky. This one, it'll be, you know, above the ocean horizon. 1,242 miles is a pretty easy cruise. It's like 2 days at just a little bit higher than 20 knots for a ship. So 2 days there, 2 days back, good life, good food, and two plus minutes of totality. And here are the planets and the sun, Mercury and Venus. Because the sun will be low in the west and the planets are east of the sun, you will be able to see them both during totality, Mercury and Venus, nicely above the eclipsed sun, just above the ocean horizon. Okay. When Michael Zeiler and I had that first phone conversation, and he asked me to do the text, he said, "What I'm planning is I'm planning an eclipse atlas for the next 20 years of solar eclipses." And I said, great. So I started to write and I worked on it for a couple months and we chatted again. And he said, you know, I think it would be best if we extended it by 5 years and made this atlas a 25-year atlas. Now, this had already been the most difficult writing I've ever done. And I tried to talk him out of it, but he did have a solid argument. In fact, two solid arguments. And these next two eclipses that I'm going to talk about basically were his argument, both of which touched the United States. First one, August 23rd, 2044. And touch, I guess, is the right one for this. Magnitude 1.03. Max totality, just a bit above 2 minutes. Here's the path. You can see it's one that comes down from Canada and right at the end, just barely clips us in the northern tier of states. Three states, really. And here they are. Well, go to the next slide. Here they are in a much closer view. So this line is the Canadian border, and this is Montana, here's North Dakota up here. And then right down here, this little triangle is South Dakota, which does indeed get a bit of totality, about a minute, but the sun will be so low from there. So really, if you can't go into Canada, let's just say perhaps for legal reasons, you wanna be as close to the border in Montana as you can be for this eclipse. Gonna be quite low. Talking about the sky during totality. Now, the planets, again, are to the west, so both Mercury and Venus will be invisible if you view this eclipse from the US. But Regulus, at magnitude 1.4, is only a degree from the sun. So if you look at the sun during totality with binoculars, and 7x50, 10x50, really whatever you use, you'll probably be able to see Regulus in the solar corona, which would be kind of a fun sight, only a degree away from the totally eclipsed sun. Okay, the final eclipse that I'm going to talk about, and indeed the last eclipse in the book, is the total solar eclipse, August 12th, 2045. This This is a good one. This is one that I'm going to try to stay alive for. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but this certainly will be great. Magnitude, almost 1.08. And the max totality, above 6 minutes. This will be a great eclipse. Here it is. Here's the path going through the U.S. And you can see that it kind of almost mirrors the path in 2017. If you just shift it up a little bit, where in 2017 it entered in Oregon and left in South Carolina, here it enters in California and leaves in Florida. Bit of a closer view shows that a lot of great population centers are going to be in the path of totality already. Oklahoma City, Denver's right on the edge, Salt Lake City's right on the edge, Jackson, Mississippi, Little Rock, Tampa, Florida, Miami, lots of great locations. A closer view shows that the eclipse starts out, starts out in California and then goes through Nevada. And remember the date, August 12th. Again, this is going to be a really, really clear part of the country for viewing totality. Goes through Utah, goes through Colorado, and we pick it up here. It goes through Kansas, Oklahoma, just touches Texas and New Mexico, Arkansas. Continuing, it hits the southeast, Mississippi, Alabama, a little bit of Georgia. And then could you lay an eclipse path down that would cover more of Florida than this one? Now, remember when I talked about the 2027 eclipse through Egypt? I said that no place in Egypt along the center line will have less than 6 minutes of totality. The same holds true for Florida in 2045. At no point along the center line in Florida is this eclipse totality less than 6 minutes. Wow, this is going to be a great total solar eclipse. And yeah, we do have to wait a few years for it, but it will be a good one. The sky, the sun, Mars is there, Mercury is there. You won't see Mars almost at magnitude 2, again, unless you look through binoculars. Mercury at 0.4, maybe during totality. Certainly Venus, even that far away from the sun, no problem picking it out 10 minutes before, and probably because you can follow it, 15, 20 minutes after totality. So this is kind of a summary of some of the eclipses that I'm looking forward to in the next 25 years. The Atlas of Solar Eclipses, a week ago, 1,500 of them were at the port on the West Coast and were going to be shipped to Michael and greatamericaneclipse.com in 9 or 10 days. So this coming week, I would expect that this book will become available. And while I have you here, not that I'm making sales pitches or anything, but something else that Michael just developed, also available at greatamericaneclipse.com, is this globe, of which I have one. This isn't just the next 25 years of eclipses. This is every total solar eclipse in the 21st century. And it's a lot of fun to look at the paths and the dates and, oh, where would you want to be? And this will be a great conversation piece as soon as people start visiting us again. So anyway, I always like to finish with a pretty picture. So there I am. Thank you very much. That, as they say, is that. So, Rick, what do I do now? Maybe stop sharing my screen.
Yep, stop sharing the screen.
There you go. I hear you.
Okay. Yeah, my computer's, I think it's not going to make it to 2045 for sure. So, if anybody's got questions, you can submit them either on the chat or the Q&A section. Let's see. You should be able to see that at the bottom of your Zoom screen.
Q&A?
Yeah, Q&A or chat, either one.
Oh, okay. Chat. I do see it.
And you got one question from Tom Martinez.
I will be 92 years old. So, you know, if we meet, you know, in Florida or somewhere, I'll help push your wheelchair.
Okay. Let's see. You got another one. This just went to me, but it says, how many of these do you plan to attend in person?
Oh, as many as I can. But realistically, probably, so there are 18 total solar eclipses, and I'm just trying to think, obviously 2024. I would probably say I would like to get to 6. 4 is a realistic number. You know, again, you know, if I'm 92 in 2045, I might be able to travel within the US, but you know, who knows? I mean, I'm not going to make a prediction that I'll be alive at that point.
Okay, got another question. This one showed up in a different window. It says, is there any degree of uncertainty in orbital projections that far out?
No, absolutely none. Yes, we can predict, we, the royal we, can predict eclipses thousands of years into the future with a high degree of certainty. And so the only thing that you might notice is that for totalities in certain locations, you may see, if you go to NASA's website, for example, you'll see, let me just pick a number. You'll see that the maximum duration of totality is 4 minutes and 2 seconds for a specific spot. If you go to a different site, you may see that it's 3 minutes, 59 seconds or 4 minutes and 5 seconds. Why is there a difference? It's because the NASA website uses a spherical model of the moon. And some of the other websites, particularly the one of a friend of mine, Xavier Jubier, uses the actual outline of the moon. And so depending on whether it's more mountainous or less mountainous and more valleys, you'll be able to see a few seconds more than what NASA predicts, or perhaps a few seconds less, depending on where you are. But it's always within a few seconds. So, you know, really not that big a deal.
All right. There's another question that came up that says, how long have eclipses been predicted in human history?
Eclipses have been predicted for thousands of years. In fact, there's a story about two Chinese, well, I have to call them astrologers back then, Hai and Ho, that actually failed to predict a solar eclipse and paid the penalty. You know, if we fail to predict a solar eclipse today, well, people may stay inside. But they had their heads removed because the emperor decided that this was a major event. They didn't predict it. So it's been several thousand years where people have predicted and known about total solar eclipses. Certainly not with the precision and the accuracy of the path that we can do now, but yes, definitely for quite a long time.
Okay. All right, we've got another question that says, asks, what percent of eclipses have you been clouded out of?
So I have been to now 15 total solar eclipses. I have been clouded out of one, okay? And I mean totally clouded out. We had a lot of clouds in St. Joseph in 2017, but we actually saw a bit of totality, a diamond ring, you know, things like that. But I saw none of that in 2009. Jackie remembers, she was there in China. We watched the sun, we watched it through solar filters, to 2 minutes before totality. And then I'm telling you, I've never seen rain like that in my life. People were screaming and scrambling to cover their telescopes and cameras. It was unbelievable. I must say, it was the darkest daytime rain I've ever seen, but we did get to see a lot of stuff in China, got to walk the Great Wall and saw the Shan warriors. So it was a great trip. However, we did not see totality in 2009.
All right, I'm not seeing any more questions. If anybody's got a question, now is the time to present it. Give it a few more seconds here. All right. Well, I think that's probably answered them. So, Michael, thank you very much for your presentation. Always glad to have you speak. I've heard you speak several times, not quite as many as the eclipses you've seen, but I'm working on it. So thank you very much for taking the time to make the presentation. And yeah, I'm not sure how old I'll be in 24 and 5 either, but I'll let you know and see if I can make it.
That sounds good. Thank you very much. And clear skies to the ASKC.
Thank you. Have a good night. Okay, everybody. Thank you again for attending the general meeting. Please check the schedules. We have the general meeting in June. There will also be a Powell Public Night presentation on June 6th. It will be presented by Nick Roos. It's titled The Deep Dark Secrets of Powell Observatory. Since Nick was involved with a lot of those deep, dark secrets, I'm sure it'll be some good tales. There'll also be a presentation on the 20th. I don't have the title information handy right now. But anyway, thank you again for attending. Everybody, thank you. Stay safe and clear skies.